RFP for call. This is meeting number 6. I've just circulated or with staff as a possible agenda for today's call. I'd like to make some introductory comments, review tasks and minutes from the last call, and as part of that, getting an update from the sub-working groups that we have, particularly SIVA's group on stress tests and commerce, any comments that have been received in regards to that, as well any comments that may have come in through other venues in regards to stress tests or other comments. Have a conversation about trying to improve the working methods of this group. How is it that we could be more productive, or when is the time to be more productive, being that the RFP3 conversations are getting a bit more advanced. I'd just like to take stock and see how we might be able to mainstream our work perhaps a little bit more with that group, but I'd like to open that to comments to the group. As well as planning for the Singapore meeting, and then discuss any other items that folks may have. So that's a proposed agenda. In regards to an introduction and welcome, I'm going to first take as attending those that are in the Adobe Connect room, as well as SIVA that has dialed in. If there are others that are audio only, other than SIVA, if they could just let us know at this time. Great. Again, we have not had a couple of calls the prior weeks, again, because there was an intense level of activity in regards to RFP3, and I felt it best for those conversations to mature a bit, to have a sense of how we could plan our work and go forward. But thought it important to have a meeting before the Singapore meeting so we could assess the work that's been done, the items that we've agreed to in regards to work methods, get updates, and then plan accordingly going forward. So that's kind of a quick update for myself. In regards to tasks and items from the last call, I'd like to get an update from SIVA, who had circulated a document in regards to stress tests and other issues, to give us an update on the document, to any feedback that may have been received at this time. So SIVA, if your audio is good, could you please give us an update at this time? Thank you.
Excuse me, SIVA, your line is open.
I can't hear SIVA as well.
Hello, Robert?
Yep, we can hear you now. Please go ahead. If you could give us an update on the document and any comments received since our last call, please.
So far, still there is no participation on the stress test document, and I hope members of the group take a look at this document and start contributing. And apart from that, I have no other updates. and Robert, I'm in a very noisy environment, and I'm going to be on the road, and today I'll be on mute. And if there's anything further that you would like me to contribute, I'll do that by email. Thank you, and please mute my line.
Great. Thank you, Siva. So thank you for that update. I've received updates in regards to Greg Shanton, who I'm not sure is on this call, that the CWG on accountability has been doing some work around scenario and stress test as well. And he had suggested to me, and something that perhaps I'll do at this point, is to have this group take a look at some of the scenarios that have come up and to see if it's worthwhile to incorporate some of that work into our stress test. And also want to get feedback from others in regards to ongoing work that's taking place in RFP3, and if there are some stress tests or other issues that we'd want to include. So what I'll ask staff support to do at this moment is there is a CCWG accountability scenarios document, and if they could bring that up, please, in the Adobe Connect room. And I'll just bring that up, and Olivier, I see your comment, and we'll ask you also to comment on 3B after I just quickly go through this document and get the sense from the community here. There are two documents which I will send to the RFP4 list after this call. And again, everyone on the Adobe Connect, the document is up. You can click on it to save the document, and you'll be able to scroll it. I'll just go through it quickly, but just to get a comment. But the CWG on accountability has come up with a list of not only 21 different types of scenarios or issues that can come up, but in the secondary document is also trying to group what these issues or scenarios into logical groupings that could be particularly helpful. And in here are some technical issues and regards that could happen, and so I'm just, if folks are on this group or also on the accountability and wish to comment on this document, I'll open the floor at this moment in time. If anyone wishes to comment on this document that's up on the Adobe Connect room at the moment. Olivier, please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Robert. It's Olivier Capalblanc speaking. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Okay, thank you. I think it's a good thing that the CWG CCWG on accountability is looking at these things. What I was wondering is whether they already had our own work in their hands so that we don't duplicate the work both in RFP4 and in the workstream 1 of the CCWG on accountability. Is that the case? Or because I can certainly see that they're coming up with several points, but I wonder whether they're just not duplicating some of the work that we've done. And we have a large number of scenarios at the moment, and this is just a small subset of them, or appears to be maybe not a small subset, but a subset of them. How did they derive those, if you know?
I know that I'm not following the accountability working group as closely as others. I know that I think it's Cheryl, I think, is there, and she's the author of one of the documents. I think one of the tasks that I've identified, I think, going forward is to get an update from those working in that group and trying to see if there are to coordinate our efforts a bit more, particularly on the group that's working on stress tests for accountability. And one of the things I'd like to ask Siva and his sub-working group is to review these the two documents that I'll circulate by email, and see if we could merge them with our work. And so just trying to coordinate efforts, and then in Singapore, just coordinate efforts a bit more. And it's also why I've added an agenda item in regards to improving our working methods and coordination with others as well. So to your question is, I can't speak to the document as much, but just wanted to share with this group that, this document and another document, which I'll show in a moment, has been developed by the accountability group, and that it echoes some of our work. Your hand is still up, so I'll give you the floor again, Olivier.
Yeah, thank you very much for this, Robert. I think that's an excellent idea, and certainly the earlier we can fold the input that we have from the accountability group into our own document and then share that document with the accountability group, perhaps even let them know of RFP4. I'm not sure whether the people leading the charge in the accountability group are very much aware of the document that we have. The earlier we can let them know, the earlier we can merge the two documents, and perhaps that could be done on a Google Doc or something, so we don't have various versions with various angles of the different scenarios.
Indeed. One thing in terms of feedback to this group and for the larger CWG, and I know it's was raised in an email to the larger list earlier today, is that Larry Strickling from at the State of the Net conference yesterday asked some questions for the CWG to consider going forward. And I've posted the link in the Adobe Connect room for folks to see. There's a section which is the NTIA would like to offer the following questions for stakeholders to consider. I think that one of them relates particularly to our work, and I'll read that specific paragraph, is that the draft proposes the creation of 3 or 4 new entities to be involved in the naming relating processes. Could the creation of any new entity interfere with the security and stability of the DNS during and after the transition? And given the community will need to develop, implement, and test new structures and processes prior to a final transition, can this be done in a way and a time frame consistent with the expectation of the shareholders? So I think what this means for us is that as, on this call, but also in Singapore and going forward, is we'll have to develop not only kind of high-level stress tests, but perhaps with other colleagues from different communities, try to identify very specific testing of the structures and then the processes that will need to be implemented to see if proposed systems would be working well before the transition and during the transition period as well. So we haven't gotten to that nuance, and I think this is something that will be a question for the different communities, for my SI colleagues and for others in Singapore, that having that nuance will be particularly important, particularly making sure, I think, a general comment which came not only from Larry Strickling but also from a congressional staff member, which was at the meeting yesterday, which is making sure that performance is as good or better going into new proposed structures. So we haven't gotten into that detail, and I think that's a level of nuance that we really need to get into. So I just wanted to make sure that if everyone hasn't seen the comments that are a bit broader, that people please do see that, and I'll paste the text in the RP4 list right after this call as well. I'm just curious, having made that comment, if there are others that would like to make some comments in regards to those comments in regards to testing and the need to get into a more detailed set in perhaps possible ways that we could do that. I'm just does anyone wish to make a comment in that regard at this moment? Not hearing anything, what I'll suggest is, Siva, I know that you're listening to this call, that if you could please recirculate the link to the test that we've identified so far in the document. Please take a look at the items that are in the scenarios document that is here now, and if it's worthwhile to incorporate new ones. What I will ask you, once you've done that today, what I'll ask you perhaps is between now and Friday, to, if you could just come up with a document that is each specific test and kind of the three or four options that we had, which they were critical now, important, not important to ignore, and I will include that in a survey that we could send out to have members of this group kind of be able to go through and assess the different items, and so we can get a thank you. So we'll send that. Great. So someone has an audio on. Someone has their audio on. Could that be muted, please? Great. Thank you. So that's a way that we had mentioned going through and trying to identify specific tests. Going through as well, too, I remember in the past, and I think, Yap, you're in this call as well, too. Could you please, I think you had commented in the past in terms of there was possibly a priority of type of test that we should identify and try to focus on first. And so if you could, remembering those comments, comment again in regards to, from your perspective, what would be some high-level testing or specific tests that we should be doing in the coming period. I'm sorry, what I mean is developing testing details. So, Yap, if you'd like to make some comments at this time, please.
Well, let me make two comments. What I basically said is that you probably should do some kind of mind map how these things interrelate to each other. I mean, that was one of the ideas I had. The other idea, the other comment I wanted to make, and I was just missing the remark about what to do is for the remark about Strickland. When I read the remark Strickland made, I mean, I noticed that it makes a real difference between the risk and testing for the transition and for IANA accountability itself. And if I look at Siva's list, I mean, most of the things are not really related to the transitions. They all have to do with the IANA accountability, whether or not IANA is involved. And, I really think at first we should trim the list of Siva, which is just related to the transition for a start, because the way the list looks now, there's no beginning nor end, and how to address all the things that are on the list.
That's a very good comment, Yap, and I would suggest is, I think going forward, just a good suggestion in categorizing or trimming the list. What I'll ask as well, and we'll ask that this be copied as or added as a task item, is for the existing list that we have to add a column in regards to if people believe it is an item involved in the accountability transition or another issue going forward, and so we can do that. And trimming the list would be particularly helpful. So that's a good item and a good suggestion, Yap. I'll ask staff as well, too, just to give a sense in terms of how the CWG accountability has done this, and maybe a possible way for us to group the stress test is if they could pull up the other PDF that I circulated, which is proposed contingency scenarios document, please. You could move to that for a moment. The document that hopefully will come up now is one that, in terms of grouping, what we might want to think about as well, too, and, you know, I'll ask Siva and I'll participate in this as well, is instead of having a laundry list or a huge list, is ways that we can better group them. There we go. And so the way the accountability group is they merge them in regards to how the different items in the previous list could be merged. And these are insolvency, failure to meet operations, legal legislative, failure of accountability, and failure of accountability to external stakeholders. And so I think a task going forward and what I would like to have some discussion in the next few days is trying to categorize the list as well, too. And so I will ask Siva to merge the list that we have so far, and I'll send out a survey that will be sent to everyone on this list, and hopefully we can get ideas and try to group the items that we have so far, and we'll try to use that list going forward. Would that be a particularly helpful approach? So that's the approach that I think will be helpful going forward. So, Yap, is that would that be helpful, I guess, going to your earlier comments and reducing and trimming down the items, prioritizing them and grouping them by topics?
Well, just have a look at this the first time. But, yes, this seems to be the direction. I mean, at least when it's the way to trim the list down. And for the details, we might see whether this is a, these are risks which are specifically to the translation, or are more just more generic risk. I mean,
yeah, so we'll try to come up with but having a, I guess, a document like this, which will have a proposed set of testing scenarios and group them into major categories, is a key task that I would like to do over the between now and Singapore, and reducing the list, and so we can discuss them in that way going forward.
Yeah, I mean, what I find difficult about testing scenarios is, you know, what is the metrics people are going to use to do the results? Because, a lot of these things has never been done before, so to what will you compare it? That means when a test fails or not.
By mentioning that, I guess it has me ask you and others perhaps on this, is that the issue of metrics I think would be particularly helpful. Are there metrics that we should try to use? And are there, that type of information which would be useful? Do you suggest any specific metrics that we should be using or data that we should be using to run the testing through?
No, I'm just raising the question. I mean, I'm at loss in suggesting anything here, so that makes it hard. I mean, maybe other people have ideas or have experience in testing organizations like that, but I don't. I'm testing technical stuff, not organizations.
Great. Thank you so much gap. That's maybe a question as well, too, that we will suggest for a follow-up is if folks could contribute to this list or the main CW list in regards to metrics or data that could be used as we for the scenario testing period, and what is a comparison data. The first thing that comes to my mind is if a goal is to have at least the same level of performance that exists now, at least we can try to have a conversation with NTIA and IANA at the Singapore meeting to try to get, you know, what are some recent changes in regards to naming that have occurred over the last year period, and then try to run that through scenarios or structures that we create as part of our proposal, and try to see what the changes would be in regards to time and efficiency. That could be one particular way to do that, and then compare.
Yes, it would be very useful to know what strictly means to have done appropriate tests. You know, it's just waving a flag, but there's nothing concrete there.
Great. So I'll ask maybe as an action item for staff if, say that the RFP4 group wishes to have a meeting with IANA staff and possibly NTIA at the Singapore meeting, and whether that's a formal meeting or just a conversation, so we could just raise this question, I think would be particularly good. Ideally, what it would be good if someone could volunteer on this group to develop that question in writing, which we could transmit ahead of the Singapore meeting. So that way, if a meeting is not possible, we could, at least for NTIA, get a written response from them.
And if I may add something to this, the CWG accounting group, I mean, they also should come with something. There's also mentioning of that some testing should be done, and I guess they will have the same question.
So I know that some coordination between a meeting between the two groups are planned, but definitely I'll discuss that in the coordination meeting call that we have ahead of the Singapore meeting. That's an excellent suggestion. Thank you. So that's in regards to testing. I think in regards to timeline, I think, which was...
Robert, Greg has raised his hand.
Greg had not turned his hand. Thank you, Bart, for commenting that. Greg, please go ahead.
Hi, it's Greg Shatton. Sorry I've joined a bit late. But in listening to the call over the last little while and looking what's on the screen, it occurs to me, and maybe, as I say, I've missed things because I've joined a bit late, but that scenarios or stress situations, maybe we should be looking at them kind of in layers or in causes and effects. These are, with the exception of number three, really talk about effects of stress factors on ICANN, the organization. It seems to me that, and I think this kind of relates to the issue of data and metrics. First, you have to decide what it is you're measuring before you decide how it is you're measuring it. That you need to look at how each of these, or we need to look at how each of these contingency scenarios would affect the IANA function, the IANA group itself, and maybe that's the reason for talking, you know, the meeting you want to have, that we want to have in Singapore, is to say, okay, well, if ICANN, you know, is insolvent, what happens to the IANA function? functions, you know, and what specifically happens. You know, do they lose personnel? Do they fail to respond timely? Does their equipment shut down? Does their office equipment get repossessed? You know, what are the effects? And I think that's where our task kind of diverges from that of the accountability group, which is also looking at scenarios. You know, they have to look at perhaps everything that could happen within ICANN, and maybe that includes IANA, but really we need to look at just what the effect of any of these, you know, disaster scenarios is on the IANA function itself. And I think we almost need kind of a second list of what are the bad things that happen at NTIA, or at IANA, or with regard to the IANA functions, or with regard to the people performing the IANA functions, or the equipment used to perform the IANA functions, or communication with the RZM and the like. And then you decide kind of how do you measure that? You know, what is it? Is it uptime? Is it hours? Is it full-time equivalent personnel, whatever it may be? So kind of need a list of the kind of a secondary parade of horribles. This is the big picture parade of horribles, and then we need the IANA-specific parade of horribles. Thanks.
Great. Thank you, Greg. Olivier, your hand is up. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Robert. Olivier Graffin-Leblanc speaking. And reading those risks, it strikes me that the Board Risk Committee has indeed worked on this as well. I had a recent conversation with Mike Silber and Ram Mohan about Board Risk Committee and the risk framework, risk management framework that they were working on. It appears that the official line is they have identified many risks. They have put together many contingency efforts to mitigate the risks, but due to the sensitive nature of this information, since, of course, you could show a way on how to get ICANN to stumble or at least hit ICANN where it might be vulnerable, this information is apparently confidential. So I'm not quite sure how or whether we could have access to that or what the politics are around it. But I certainly see a lot of what's written here is very probably already in that report. And I haven't got access to that report, by the way. It's just I was told that this risk management does exist and the risk mitigation framework does exist.
Thank you, Olivier, for that. There was one of the pending items that I've not done yet is Grace did get in touch with me. I believe it was earlier this week in regards to the access request for documentation. And so that's something that I'll try to do before the end of the week, circulate it to this RFP4 group. That being said, I think something, an additional, I guess, item to add for planning for ICANN Singapore as an item is perhaps having a meeting with the Board Risk Committee would be particularly helpful. And trying to identify whether it's an access request or some other means to have a conversation with them and what provisos might be needed to have a sense of the more sensitive details and perhaps that the non-disclosure is required for to look at it. But it would be particularly helpful, at least for me, for co-chair and maybe one or two other members of this group as well, because it would definitely help us leverage existing work that ICANN's done, but also help formulate the testing framework and RFP4 a bit better. So good suggestion. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and Ram Mohan and Mike Silber are the co-chairs of the Board Risk Committee, just for your information. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. So in regards to another item that had been discussed as well, which was, Barry, I see you're on the call as well, too. You had circulated an updated timeline to the list. I'm just wondering if there are any comments or feedback that you'd received from this group in regards to that document which you had circulated during our last call. We lost someone on the line. Barry, if you're there, could you make a comment in regards to the timeline comments? And if they're silent, I will assume that there have been no comments.
I'm sorry, sir. If you're asking for Barry Cobbs, he is no longer on the call.
Thank you so very much for letting us know. Great. Olivier, please go ahead.
Thank you, Robert. Olivier Krapanovlov speaking. And I haven't got the timeline in front of me. In fact, the timeline was in Visio format, which I couldn't open. But I have a strong feeling that timelines are going to be moved around a little bit. Are you meaning the timeline of our work, or was that the timeline of the transition timeline itself?
It's the transition timeline, and I think it was more not necessarily the duration of the times. I mean, that's something that I think I will likely have to be revisited if we look at larger timelines.
T plus 1 month, T plus 1 month, plus 2 months, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, it looked fine to me when I finally got hold of a PDF. Now, that said, I'm not sure when I'll be able to brief you up on RFP3B, but the timelines will obviously be different for if one scenario is chosen against another scenario being chosen. The timeline is geared at the contract co option, and of course now there are two other options which are going to arrive on the table. So I don't know when we can discuss that.
I think maybe one thing, a very brief, you had raised your hand in regards to update on 3B. I would just ask for a short summary in regards to transition implications of RFP3B. And then I think I would ask Greg, instead of giving us a large update on RFP3, I think would be your sense of any updates in regards to RFP3 that this group may want to take a look at. So I'll ask I'll ask Alan to comment first, then get an update from Greg, and then get an update on 3B from Olivier. Please, Alan, go ahead.
Thank you, Robert. Actually, I was just going to give a little update on 3B, if that's what you're looking for.
Please go ahead, Alan.
Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Okay. Just to say, currently, and following our meeting yesterday, we are working to make a contribution to the discussion document that will be circulated prior to Singapore as a basis for soliciting feedback and input from the community that will be present there. The document will have a separate chapter on a so-called internal to ICANN option, and within that there will be two variants, as it were, of that of the so-called internal ICANN option, which will not include the contract code. The first of these will be based on and hopefully even authored by the proposal that was made by AUDA in the last week or so, and the other will, and the dominant feature of the outer proposal is it includes a trust. The other option will be similarly structured, but it would just not have a trust, but rather would rely on amendments to the ICANN bylaws to create arrangements and to create a body or bodies that would be analogous to MRT / CSC. So as we speak, this is sort of being written up, and that's really what that's. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan, for that update. Greg, did you want to add anything in regards to larger RFP3 work that's taking place as it relates to RFP4?
Sure. Thank you, Robert. Greg Chatton again. RFP3 has continued to move forward on fleshing out the contract code related model. Our most recent call went over and tried to come up with a more detailed outline of the structure and of contract code, see if we could find areas of convergence or at least maybe bimodal convergence. There are kind of two positions that each have reasonably strong support. We also touched on the functions, although not directly. I think that goes back to, that those may be reasonably well understood by now. They also probably need further detail. I think that as the structures are structural details are built out, clearly those can be used to populate disaster scenarios with a little bit more detail. And our next call will be Friday. Thanks.
Great. Thank you for that, Greg. So one thing that I think for that update and just seeing some of the text chat and some of the other conversations that have taken place, I wanted to move on to improvements to the working methods of this group and how to possibly best coordinate and with not only the other with the RFP3 group but also with the accountability group. As I had mentioned earlier, I'm meeting with those groups, seeing some of the documents, and making sure that members following the accountability group will flag items to us is particularly helpful. And meeting with them in Singapore will be helpful as well. But what I wanted to share some of my thoughts and maybe get thoughts of others as well is try to get all the different work siloed in ways that whether it's my engagement or others in of this group in RP3 and going forward, ways that we can try to coordinate the efforts and so those simultaneous work going on. What I've tried to do in the RFP3 conversations, and Greg and Alan would appreciate your comments, what are best ways that as those proposals are being developed that we try to anticipate and ask staff or members of this group to work on RFP4-related items? I know that for discussions that have taken place over the last couple of weeks, there's always been a question of timeline and in regards to implementing RFP3B or other items, there's been a check to see how long the different items would take. I think, Greg, you mentioned now that for the OUDA proposal, I would say the one of the 3B alternate proposals is important to develop a list. And so might I suggest that a question for OUDA, if they could be helpful, is for the, have them help us identify maybe some of the steps that would be required for testing, and also what are some of the processes that would be needed for some of the structures to be created. So I'm just curious to hear from both of you and maybe from others ways that coordination and collaboration could be enhanced, and how the RFP4 group work could perhaps be improved in Singapore, but also going forward. Greg, would you? I'll open the floor for you for comments, and others that want to raise their hand up, please do. Greg, your comments would be appreciated.
Robert, I actually stepped away for part of what you were saying. Could you very briefly summarize kind of the
sure. If one of the things as the RFP3 work is going forward, I want to try to get comments from this community on the work that this group has done so far and ways that it can improve going forward, as we'll have to be developing far more detail going forward. And so if you had some constructive comments in regards to how we could coordinate and collaborate with your group and the accountability group and others as well, too. So just a very short sense
sure.
of work methods that we might want to improve going forward.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's a very good point. I think first, between RFP 3 and 4, you know, we should view this as an iterative process, you know, somewhat of a ping-pong match. I think it may be helpful, although obviously there's a you know, fair degree of overlap in the personnel on the calls. It's not, you know, complete overlap, and the agendas are different. So what I would say is it would be helpful, for instance, for the RFP 3 group to, and even for, and for 3B as well, perhaps, although, you know, let 3B speak for itself, to review the work to date of the RFP 4 group and see how that can be applied to the structures that are being, you know, reviewed and revised by the RFP 3 group, and that, you know, kind of in midstream stress testing, you know, should be used to strengthen the models, whatever the models are, whether it's the trust model, the kind of golden bylaw model, the contract co model, or even if there's another model that comes out of, or refinements of those models that come out of our legal consultation. Apply the stress tests while we're building them, not, you know, at the end when it's just kind of an ex post facto analysis. So I don't know what the Latin is for during facto, but that's kind of, I think, what we need to do, and maybe it vice versa to, you know, look at the, you know, a kind of boiled down version of the structures that are currently on the table. And take the exercise of trying to apply the scenarios to those structures. I think that, you know, one of the things we probably don't have the luxury of is waiting for the model fully cooked, nor, you know, based on my iterative kind of program, should they be fully cooked before start applying stress tests to the scenarios. And I think they do have to be applied to multiple scenarios. We can't wait to arrive at a single final scenario even and then stress test that. I think we've got to, you know, do each of them. You know, unfortunately, in rushed projects, one of the inefficiencies that's unavoidable is working on issues in parallel rather than serially. So I think that that's what I would say, is that we need to kind of actively apply stress tests to models and apply models to stress tests. And I would say that with regard to the accountability group and the board risk analysis that's also been, you know, circulated to the SOs and ACs lately for comment, is to try to have a kind of direct dialogue with those, with the subgroup or work stream or work team or working party, whatever they're calling it, in the accountability group that is also dealing with kind of cooking up scenarios and actively comparing all the lists of scenarios. As I indicated before, I think the application we have a more specialized application ultimately because our end game is solving for potential risks to the IANA functions and to the oversight structures, whatever they may be, that we put in place post-transition. But in terms of, you know, harmonizing and synchronizing the lists of risks, at the enterprise level to IANA, to ICANN, the enterprise level, the risk list should be pretty similar. We may discard some because they could have no possible effect on the IANA function, but I think even that, we should discard that in a public fashion. In other words, it should be listed and resolved because people will look at our list versus the accountability group's list and say, they identify this problem that could happen with ICANN and you didn't, and why not, and you know, how would this risk play out in the IANA function and IANA function oversight arena? And we need to be able to say, yeah, we analyzed that and we resolved that it would not have an effect. That particular type of risk would not come down to an effect this level. So those are kind of my thoughts in response to that. Hope that's helpful. Thanks.
Great. Thank you, Greg. And I see, Alan, that you're saying that you're in agreement with Greg in regards to that as well, too. Olivier, before I go to you, I think something, too, that we've discussed earlier on these calls as well in terms of a feedback back to the RFP3 process is something that I guess one of the items that we had agreed in regards to a framework going forward is as the RFP3 proposals get proposed, also detailing what the changes would be from the existing arrangement and existing contract. And so there had been an early document that had been circulated, I think been prepared by Bernie, that basically went through at a very early stage what the changes would be. And so that's something that we can discuss on a next call, but that's something that would have to be come out of the different groups is, what the changes would be going forward as well, and timelines we've discussed as well, and what the different proposals, what their proposed timelines are. So, Olivier, please, your hand is up. Go ahead.
Thank you, Robert. Olivier speaking, and I agree with Greg that we should be operating in parallel and therefore developing scenarios for 3 and 3B and the two different scenarios of 3B. However, I must caution the group into peddling in thin air or peddling in air because the RFP 3B, for example, has resolved that they would not be having any further calls until the meetings in Singapore, for the simple reason that we are really waiting now for the answers to the questions from legal advice. There are now three scenarios there, and we're not really quite sure what the advice is going to be on those three scenarios, whether they're even workable. So I do have concerns about plowing forward full speed on these scenarios and being told in the future that the scenario we've been working on doesn't work and is not feasible. And therefore, that would certainly make a certain number of people in this group feel like they've wasted their time, and I wouldn't want to be in that situation. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivier. I think it's maybe, I think one of the challenges, I think, as Greg mentioned, to the timelines that we have, there's a certain amount of work that needs to happen in parallel, and it may not be the most efficient way, and so trying to navigate the best way to do that is helpful. But the way I see it is what our questions and items that as proposals get developed should be thinking about and making sure that those closer to the proposal know what questions are being developed and try to answer them would be particularly helpful. Greg, I see your hand is up. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Robert. Just briefly in response to Olivia, I think that those kinds of inefficiencies are frankly unavoidable, and people shouldn't feel bad about that. I don't think it's particularly a waste of time. One could also envision a scenario where we got a blessing from the legal review that a particular scenario was kosher from a a narrow legal perspective, but you know, we might identify in RFP4 totally unacceptable risks and have to discard it for that reason. So therefore, I think, you know, we can't we get ourselves into what Avery calls the deadly embrace, where you know, no part can proceed before the other part, and so forth. You know, like the goes back about 100 years, which is even older than me, but the characters Alphonse and Gaston, who are forever saying that the other one should go first through the door, and neither of them ever gets through the door. You know, this happens in my line of work all the time. You can be working on a litigation and working very hard preparing for trial, but also working very hard on trying to negotiate a settlement to avoid trial. You can be working on trying to bring a company public, but also trying to be working on a private financing scenario in case the IPO doesn't look like it's going to fly, or you know, the market isn't in a good place for it. So parallel processes are just a fact of life, and especially when you're working against you know, time pressure. I'm not saying that we have to you know, run around with our hair on fire, but at the same time, while we're not pedaling in thin air, I think we are perhaps pedaling on temporary roadways and on roads that we are that are being built kind of directly in front of our bicycle. So I think it's just kind of the way it needs to be. Not that we're going to build elaborate and finalized documentation against other things that are in midstream, but I think the exercise needs to take place. That's the essence of an iterative process, is that you you know, bang things back and forth until you know both are relatively far along. So that's my 2 cents. Thanks. Bye.
Great. Thanks for that. And Olivier, I see your hand is up, so I just don't want to spend too much, because there's a couple things that I wanted to go forward, because I wanted to try to wrap the call at the top of the hour. But I mean, I think it's just working in parallel is something that we need to try to do, and it may not be the most efficient way, but that it should be done in a way that best coordinates the efforts is kind of the approach that I'm taking, and we just need to improve that a bit more compared to the way we've been doing it before. But that's kind of my general view. But you had your hand up, Olivier. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Robert. Olivier speaking. And I agree, working in parallel is fine, but we will have to wait for legal advice for the three different scenarios. And I guess it might come together, or it might come at separate timings, but we will have to wait until we get that in order to be able to have a finalized set of scenarios. But of course, starting work on the scenario, it's fine. That's it. Thank you.
Great. That being said, thank you everyone for your feedback on ways to improve working methods going forward, and I'll try to make sure and put it in some of the other discussions to try to improve that going forward and structure our work accordingly. In regards to the next item that we had, we planning for ICANN Singapore. I think at the beginning of the call, we'd mentioned possible meetings with others, and so that, I think that's been discussed a little bit before, we'll try to send everyone an update in regards to that, if not by the end of this week, by Monday of next week, in regards to suggestions. It would be possibly good on the list, but also if folks on this group think it's so worthwhile to have a meeting of the RFP4 group, that we try to structure some time. And so I'd like to ask that as an item, people please on the mailing list for RFP4, please indicate if they are interested in having this specific group meet. And if so, then we'll have to do a doodle in regards to a time. And then in terms wanted to open up if there are other items of business that folks wanted to raise at this moment in time in regards to our meeting. I don't know if it will be I just want to maybe get a sense from this group if there's a need to have a meeting before Singapore or not. My sense is that I'd like to have some activity on the list and raise some of the issues in that regards, and I'll raise some of the RFP4 issues on the other RFP3 calls that I see as being a bit more important at this time. But does anyone want to offer any other items for comment or discussion at this moment in time? Seeing no hands up, I will then await till Friday if folks think there's a need for this group to meet before Singapore. If not, I look forward to seeing some of you in Singapore, and then we'll try to plan a meeting immediately after Singapore as well. So thank you, everyone, for participating in this call, and it's 7 past the hour, and see this is closed, and look forward to seeing you in the different calls and in Singapore. Thank you so very much. Please stop the recording at this time.
Thanks, Robert. Bye.